back and brought a team. You'll probably mention something about that. I had lunch with them, or actually breakfast with them this last week. Enjoyed hearing about the ministry that's happening in Taiwan. He's been there 11 years now. Interesting that, you know, you talk about the importance of short-term missions teams like this one. He's been on three or four of them in his beginning years, and it was on one of those trips that God began to speak to him. And it was on a third trip in Kenya that God confirmed that he was really to spend his whole life on foreign fields. I thought Kenya was interesting because this Saturday I'm overseeing a gathering of Kenyan people here in the church. There's a celebration going on for a couple, Francis and Luis. And we're looking forward to that. So it's kind of like great to hear how God has moved in your life. He's going to talk to us about hearing ears, having ears to hear what the Spirit says, and following Christ. And just pray that you'll open up your heart to him and to what the Lord would say to us. Taiwan is 23 million people in that area. It's kind of, I came from Maine, the state of Maine. He says that Taiwan is about quarter the size of Maine. Maine's a fairly large state, so Taiwan is a quarter of that size, and they have 23 million people. In the state of Maine, there's only 1.3 million people, so there's a number of people there. They've been called to a specific region, which he'll tell you about. He's brought his lovely wife, Jesse. Would you stand up for we could welcome you? Thank you, Jesse, for serving. One of the things I appreciate about this couple is that they're not going to talk to you about theory or something they've learned from books. They're living out what they tell you. And so I pray that you'd receive them with open hearts. Why don't you just welcome them one more time?
Thank you, Pastor Tim. It is truly our honor to be here this morning. It is such a blessing to be with the good folks of Koinonia Christian Fellowship. Like Pastor Tim said, we have been having some communications ever since 2011. Before I get started this morning, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the experiences that you have given me up to this point in my life. And I know that everyone in this room, although having different experiences, we have had them. And we can learn from them and we can grow from them. And Lord, sometimes we want to share those experiences, and if we're not careful, they can just come out as words. Words that don't make sense. Words that even though we hear them, it doesn't really apply to our lives. But Lord, if your word is anointed with the Holy Spirit, it has a special ability to open hearts and to open minds and make application in such ways that we could not do it with our fleshly bodies, Lord. God, I pray that this morning that even though I am a man, even though I'm flesh, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to all of us, including me, and that we can learn from you this morning. Lord God, we sit at your feet this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like Pastor Tim said, we were here in 2011 doing a Chinese Bible camp. If any of you were involved in that Chinese Bible camp, or at least remember it, could you please raise your hand? I just want to see. Okay, they were mostly all in the first service. All right, but there's a lot here too. And it's good to see you all again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lovely bunch of people here. I like Hanford. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm originally from Georgia. Me and my wife, we met 26 years ago, been married 26 years, got married in Georgia. We lived there the first 15 years of our life, except for a three-year stint in New York City. And we had three kids. We had the car, and we had the Ford Aerostar, and we had the church, and we had the home and the land and the fence around it. And we were doing everything that we thought we were supposed to be doing. And our church was really big into missions and always was encouraging people to go out on short-term mission trips, and we were able to go to Jamaica and Nicaragua and Kenya, and it was such a blessing to be able to go on these trips. Originally, we were just going just to have fun and see what was going on, but we realized on the third trip when we were in Kenya that God was calling us full-time to the mission field. Now, we had already lived in America for 15 years, and we had no idea that we would ever go anywhere to work full-time, serve full-time for God. But when we started getting that feeling, we started praying and fasting and seeking God and like, God, what are you doing to us? We're just about getting ready to build a house and getting our bills paid off and everything's going well. And then all at once, you know, you call us to go on the foreign mission field. And I would like to continue on with my story. And I am going to tell parts of my story, but actually, my message is going to talk about another missionary, because this is something that just recently happened in our life, in our midst, and I think it's a very special and touching story, and I think God, as I was praying about this, I think God was encouraging me to highlight his story. And his name, he was a missionary that worked with us, that served with us. His name is David Bice. And I'd like for all of you to remember that name, David Bice, because by the time I get through, I think you'll understand why. He had this wonderful, amazing story. Every 2 years, we come to America to do a Come Follow Me tour, mission tour. We gather a group of Taiwanese teenagers, and we teach them about the Bible. We teach them about church. We encourage them to come to the church, and they come together, and we go on this mission tour, and we go and we do like these Asian-style VBSs at different churches in America. And it's kind of like a mission trip in reverse, because when our kids from Taiwan come here, they learn so much from the churches. They stay in host families. They stay with Christian people. They see the crosses on the wall. They see the loving father sitting at the table eating dinner with the family. They see how they work out things in their life according to Christ, and they just see how things could be. And our hope is that they would take these things, take them back to where they're from, and that they would implement them into the culture and into the life there. So it's kind of like a mission trip. They're learning how to follow Christ. And we came here in 2011. We brought the team here. We did the Asian VBS. But now every 2 years, we do this, and we bring a different team. And we stay for 3 months at a time. And it's divided into three parts. One is we have that team with us, and we go around to different churches doing that. And then the other one is we, after the team goes back to Taiwan, our family goes and travels around different churches and speaks and shares our story and builds awareness about Northeast Taiwan Christian Organization, the nonprofit that we just recently started, and what we're doing and how people can be partner with us and get involved if they like. And then the third part is we take a family rest. And this year we're doing it a little bit different. We're going around speaking first, and we're making our way from California to Georgia. And then when we get to Georgia, we're going to pick up our team coming from Taiwan, and we're going to do the Chinese Bible camps in the Atlanta area. And but before we came in 2011, before we came here, something was happening in our family. We have three kids, two daughters and a son. They were all teenagers. Well, they were kids when we first went there, but then they were becoming teenagers. And me and my wife, we began to realize that they were growing up and that they would soon be coming back to America for college. And we were trying to get churches started. We were trying to get things going there. And it just, we were worried. We were concerned, like, God, how can me and my wife continue in ministry if our kids leave? And of course, you know, the first thing that was put in our mind was, well, you need to start spreading the gospel here and the people that you're reaching out to, and let them become, you know, leaders in the ministry. And that's what we started doing. However, we just wasn't growing fast enough. Our ministry wasn't growing fast enough to be able to sustain what was going on. We already had two churches. We were in the northeast region of Taiwan, where there's like along the coast, it's like a 2-hour drive, and there's like 13 villages in between these two big cities. In those big cities, there were churches, but in those small villages, there were none. And God had called us to plant churches in these villages. Well, we were trying to get these two villages off the ground and running. And at the same time, our children was getting ready to come to college over here. And so we were praying and seeking God about what are we going to do? And what we heard from God was, start a third church. That's not logical, you know, and sometimes God doesn't seem to be logical according to earthly standards, does he? Has God ever called you to do something that you just think, well, that's not going to work? It was a serious question. I'm serious. Has God ever called you? Okay. All right. Well, that's what God had called us to do, and I want to tell you how that calling came about. Okay, we wasn't just sitting there, you know, on our knees praying and we heard God. It was an event that was happening. It was during Christmas, the Christmas before we came. And we had had two big Christmas parties at the churches where we had already started in Aldi and Fulong. And there was a place where we were just teaching English at a local elementary school in a village called Dali, about a 30-40 minute drive south of us. And right beside Dali is another town called Dasi. Dali means big land and Dasi means big river. And sometimes, you know, we think of them together as the same place, Dali and Dasi. And anyway, we were at the Dali Elementary School, and, well, I told my wife, I said, you know, we do these Christmas parties up here in Aldi and Fulong, but the kids down there, what about them? They're not learning about Jesus. They're not hearing about God. Maybe we should go down there and try to do a Christmas party for them. So we got together. We made a plan. We went down there. We asked the principal, could we do this Christmas party in the school, right there in the elementary school? And he said, sure, yeah, you can do it. So my two daughters, they played Christmas carols. Then my wife, she got up and she had this great big Christmas book on the nativity, and she did a wonderful message about who Jesus was and when he was born and why he came. And then my son, he was changing the slides on the PowerPoint. And then it was my turn. And my turn was to be Santa Claus. I don't know why they chose me. But I said, all right, I'll do it, whatever. But someone had given me a professional Santa Claus suit. It was really nice. When I get dressed up in this thing, you don't know who I am. And so I was back in the back getting dressed up. The kids were, you know, listening to my wife speak. And after it was all over, then I come, you know, my daughter plays the guitar and, you know, and builds it up. And I, here comes Santa Claus. And I come out and the kids, like, they had seen him on TV. They knew that he existed, but they'd never seen him in real life before. Never, ever. And so I come in and they were all excited. Wow, I can't believe Santa Claus is here. Santa Claus is here. And I come out and I go up to the front and I sit in a chair and I talk about who Santa Claus is, but I use the Saint Nick story, the Christian version. And I talk about how he helped children in a poor village a long time ago. You can Google that story about Saint Nicholas. And told the kids a good moral story, good moral point. And then I had some little small gifts we gave to each one of the kids. The whole school only had about 40 kids in it. And after we give the kids out, it was time for me to go back to the back room and get redressed again, get out of those Santa Claus clothes. So I got up and I was trying to stumble around. The kids was all around me and I was trying to make sure they didn't pull my beard off, didn't pull my trousers down or anything like that. And I'm walking back and I'm acting like an old man, like an old Santa Claus. And this one kid, whose name happens to be Angel, stops me and grabs my left arm right here, and she looks up at me. She's about in third grade. She looks up at me and she says, "Shengdanjie lao gong gong, ni wei shen ma hai mei lai Dali?" And I learned a little bit of Chinese, and I was looking at it, I was like, I'm trying to translate that in my mind and be Santa Claus at the same time. And even though she said, "Shengdanjie lao gong gong, ni wei shen ma hai mei lai Dali," I heard in my brain the English. I heard her speaking in English. And what she said was, "Santa Claus, why have you never come to Dali before?" And at the exact same time, I heard in my spirit and even another voice. It was the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, And it said, Richard, I mean, this is the same time that that little girl was speaking to me. I heard it at the same time. Said, Richard, why hasn't the church come to Dolly? That was the calling. You know, sometimes God calls you to do something through someone else's mouth. They can be saying something completely different. It has nothing to do with the calling itself, but you hear Jesus Christ speaking to you. It can be a magazine article that you're reading. It can be a TV show. It could be Pastor Tim saying something. It could be just a friend out in the lobby speaking to you. It could be a coworker say something. You just know that you know that the Spirit of God is referring to something different. You hear the physical with your physical ears, but you hear the spiritual with your spiritual ears. And you got to be careful, because if you don't have spiritual ears, you won't hear what Jesus is saying to you. You will always only hear the physical. You will never hear Jesus. And that, as Christians, that's what we have to do. We have to train our ears. We have to train our ears to hear the spiritual. We have to train our eyes to see the spiritual. So, by obeying God, by following God, by doing what God tells us, by obeying His commands, that teaches us, that shows us how to hear from Him. So after I heard this, me and my wife, we talked about it. And we said, you know, when we go to Hanford, California, and when we do all those teams, this was, you know, in 2010, getting ready for 2011. When we do all of that, after the team goes back to Taiwan, that's going to be our message. That's going to be our message when we go to every church to speak and to share about what our needs are, you know, what our prayer requests are. Help us to find the resources and to find the missionaries, to find the people that are willing to come and start that church in Dolly and Dasi. So we did our camps here, and then we did one in Visalia. Then we went down to Mexico and did one. Then we took our team back to the Los Angeles airport. They went back to Taiwan, and our family started our journey, the second phase of our journey from Los Angeles to Georgia. And we were speaking at churches along the way, and that was our message. Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And the little girl said, and the little girl said, and there was nothing. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't mean that people were not paying attention. It's just I wasn't speaking at the right place, or there was no one in that group that was listening, that heard that felt called. Until I got to the last church. The last church in Georgia that we were speaking at. I didn't know it. Stood up, started telling the Santa Claus story. And there was this guy sitting about where that guy in the black shirt is, right there with the sunglasses hanging on his collar. I'm sorry, that's not prophetic. But he was sitting about right there. Maybe it is, who knows? And I knew him already, but we weren't very close friends. His name was David Bice. I told the story. Now, David, after the sermon was over, he come up, you know, and he kind of had a slow walk about him. He was not very tall. He was not very strong. He was balding on top. Didn't have a lot of special carpentry skills and plumbing skills and electrical skills like you would need on a pioneer missionary field. You know, he just kind of come up there. He was a mathematician. He had went to Auburn University and studied math. And he's like, I want to hear more. He was from Alabama. Anybody here from Alabama? Okay, I said something about them being rednecks in the first service. I'm from Georgia. And somebody come up to me and said, you know, my mom's from Alabama. So I got to be careful. Pastor Tim, you're supposed to warn me of these things. So anyway, he comes scuffling up there. And he's like, I want to know more about this Dolly Dasi ministry. So I told him about it. I didn't think too much about it, you know, but I was just explaining to him. I never thought that God would call him. But in our talks, we kept talking back and forth. And we eventually went back to Taiwan. There were some emails passed back and forth, even a Skype conversation. And he finally revealed to me that when I was speaking that day, that even though I was talking about come to Dolly Dasi and start a church, he heard something different. His spiritual ears were open. You know, he had been serving in his home church for years. He had been the youth leader. He had been the Sunday school teacher. He had been the prayer meeting leader. He had done many things around his community. He loved God with all his heart. He had trained himself to hear the Spirit of God when God speaks to him. And God spoke to him during that service. And you know what he heard? He heard the exact same thing that Jesus told Mark and Peter and Andrew at the Sea of Galilee in Mark 1:17. He heard, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." That's what he heard. And I didn't even say that, but that's what he heard. You know, we have to train our ears. We have to train our eyes to listen for Christ and to look for Christ, because when he comes, he's not going to say things and do things in a way that everybody will understand. In fact, he keeps the things of the kingdom of God secret. Did you know that? You can read that in Matthew. He's telling a parable about the farmer who sows the seeds. And he tells them, you know, after he tells this parable, it says that nobody understood the parable. So later, his disciples came to him and they said, "Jesus, tell us, what did that mean? We don't understand." And he said, "You know, the secrets of the kingdom of God are given to you because you're seeking after me. But to them, you know, I speak in parables. I speak in such a way that even though they hear and even though they see, they never perceive." And if we're not careful, as we're working in our workplaces, we're being educated in our schools, as we're being mom and dad in our home, or even if we're being child or if we're being student at our school, we can live and we can never see Christ and we can never hear Christ. And it's a very sad thing, because there's something very important that we want to hear at the end of our life, which is, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So if we never hear, "Come follow me," we may never hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So apparently David, he had heard this, "Come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." So we kept contacting each other until eventually he said, "Me and my wife, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming to Taiwan. We're going to join the mission internship program that you and Jesse have started there in Taiwan, and we're gonna learn how to be missionaries and we're gonna serve the Lord, and if you'll have us, we're gonna help start that church in Dali and Dasi." And of course we were overwhelmed. He came, his wife came, they joined the program. We taught them how to learn Chinese, we taught them how to live in Taiwan, we taught them where are the Taiwanese in the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you know, it doesn't have the word Taiwanese. And we taught them all of those things. And a lot of the stuff they already knew. They had been in church for a long time. It's just a short missionary program to acclimate you to the ministry that we're working in. It's not really a theology school or anything like that. So they went through the course. They did well. He had a really hard time learning Chinese. And the way you say thank you in Chinese is xie xie. But David always says xie xie. Alabama, I don't know. I'm sorry if you're from Alabama. I love Alabama. I'm from Georgia, so I can't say much. And xie xie means who. So every time he said thank you to somebody, he was saying, who? That's another tone of thank you. So anyway, we started working with David and Lisa and getting to know them better. And they started, at first they lived in Audi and Fulong, the village where we were, and they began to stretch out and they began to get more and more confident that they could take care of themselves and living in a foreign country with a different language, and that they could pay their own bills even if the bills are in Chinese. They could buy their own food even if all the signs are in Chinese and the calorie count and the price and everything else is in Chinese. They could do it. And they did it. And it was a wonderful thing to see God working in their life. In fact, it reminded me and my wife of how God has been working in our life, and especially when we first went to Taiwan. And we watched David and Lisa as they flourished, as they listened for God's voice, as they prayed and sought Jesus for how to run the Dasi Church, how to get it started. Well, every Wednesday, we had a meeting, a prayer meeting, business meeting, and just a time where we would gather to talk about how to do the ministry. And April the 15th, tomorrow, will be 2 months. April the 15th, 2 months ago, tax day. It's David's birthday, actually, on April the 15th. And so we were planning to have our chapel, our meeting, our prayer meeting, business meeting, and have a little portion of that to be David's 50th birthday party. And we didn't have much. We didn't plan a lot. We didn't even go out and buy gifts. My wife had started a cake in the oven. And then we started having our meeting. And we talked about business. We said, me and my wife, we're going on furlough in June, and we're going to be gone for 3 months. We really would like for David, you, and Lisa to take over. You know, just you guys have really shown yourselves responsible in this ministry, and you love this ministry, and we would be honored if y'all would just take over and just run the whole thing while we're gone for 3 months. No problem. They were ready to do it. They could do it. They had the ability. They made themselves available. And then there came a point in the meeting where we said, hey, it's David's 50th birthday. So there was 11 missionaries sitting around the table, and two of them was from Koinonia, actually, Violet Monge, and the other one was from South Valley, I think in Lemoore. And we've had other missionaries from your church there, and I just want to give a shout out to all you guys who have come to Taiwan. Thank you so much. It's been a real blessing to have you on short-term missions and middle-term missions. We're sitting around the table, and we said, all right, well, let's bless David. It's his 50th birthday. So we go around, and everybody is going to say the thing that they like the best about David. And I remember when it comes to me, I say, David, you know, the thing I like about you the most is your personality. I mean, there can be an argument, there can be a disagreement, there can be discord in a room or in a meeting or something, and all you got to do is just show your face, and everybody just laughs, and peace just comes over them. Man, you're a really great guy. And we went around, each one of us, saying the good things about him. One guy said, you remind me of my dad. It was a younger missionary. You remind me of my dad. He died 8 years ago in a car accident. And every time I look at you, it's not the way you look, but just the way you act and the way you carry yourself, your personality. My dad was a loving guy. And we went on and on and saying the good things about David. And then my wife, as we started the prayer group, went up, got the chocolate cake, which was his favorite, brought it down, and we all ate chocolate cake. Wonderful birthday party. Wonderful. Now, just the day before, David and Lisa's car had torn up. It was in the mechanic shop. And I had a 150cc scooter. I mean, you can ride this up and down. It's like a small motorcycle. And I said, David, you can use my scooter while your car's in the mechanic shop. That morning, they had drove from Dossie all the way up to Aldi, which is about a 35, 40-minute drive, on the scooter. And his wife was telling us that she was scared to death to ride that scooter. When she was young, she had never had experience on scooters or motorcycles. But David had, and he loved it. And but anyway, when the meeting was over, Lisa said, you know, we need to go, David, because I have a student coming to the Dossie Church that I need to hurry up and get back and be there on time. So they both got on the scooter, left, going back down to Dolly. And as they got to the next village, Lisa was afraid she wasn't going to make it in time to meet the student. And in every village, there's a train stop that you can ride the train, and it's faster, and it's a straight shot. But if you take the highway, it's kind of coastal and has little peninsulas you have to go in and out. You can save 15 or 20 minutes by taking the train. She says, David, pull over and let me get on the train. So he did. She got on the train. They said goodbye. See you in Dossie. Well, she rides the train home. She meets her student. She's halfway through teaching the class. She begins to look at her watch and notice David's not showing up. This was just 2 months ago now. Well, David, as he was riding the scooter to the new church that he was planting, he had stopped to get gas. And then, as he was pulling out of the driveway, there was an 18-wheeler coming. And you know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lisa soon found out that her husband was present with the Lord. And I know that I know that I know I can hear it right now. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. David, he didn't have all kind of talent. He didn't have money, but he was available. He made his life available for Christ. And you know, it just so happens that God called him to a foreign country, but God doesn't call all of us to a foreign country. Sometimes he calls us next door. Sometimes he calls us in the bedroom where our child is. Sometimes he calls us to our coworker's office. Sometimes he calls us to a higher place in him. Sometimes he calls us just to go to church. Sometimes he calls us to open that black book sitting on that table with dust on top of it and read it. And if we are obedient to his word, we will learn to hear that clearly. David had gotten to a point in his life where he could hear the clear word of God. Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. David has baptized people in Taiwan. You'll meet them when you get there one day in heaven. You'll meet David. You'll meet some Taiwanese people. Your church has supported the church in Dasi. Your church has sent a mission team to the church in Dasi. I want to thank you for opening your hearts and hearing God. Every time Pastor Tim or whoever the leader is for that service, he gets up and says, we're going to take up an offering now for this or for that or for this. You can know that people are getting saved, not just here, but all around the world. In fact, there are people right now watching, if this is on the internet, they're watching in Taiwan. And you're probably being watched in other countries too. But you know, sometimes when a speaker is speaking and they bump into missions and they start talking about missions, we just naturally follow that with, well, you know, well, God's not calling us to Africa, don't worry. God's not calling us to Rhodesia. God's not calling us to Timbuktu, don't worry. He's just calling you across town. Sadly, that's not always the case. In a crowd this big, some of you are going to be called to the foreign mission field. I don't know, maybe one of you, maybe five of you, maybe more, maybe less. I don't know. And some of you are going to be called to stay. But how will we even know if we don't train our ears? If we can't be trusted in the little things, you know, if we don't open our ears to what God is saying to us right now, how will we know about the future? God is calling us. God is always calling us to the next step. What is God calling you to do? Can you hear clearly? Or are you confused about what God is saying to you? You know there's something that he wants you to do, but you're just not 100% sure. I want to encourage you to just do the little thing. Just do the little thing first. And he'll make the bigger thing more and more clear. And even though he may speak to you from a redneck Georgia pastor speaking on the stage, or he may speak to you from a little boy on the street, or he may speak to you from Superior Ice Cream Shop. He may speak. I have had it. And I don't need to have any more. I want to thank y'all for holding that up in this community, but I need to stay away from that place. That's a dangerous place. I want to thank David Bice for hearing God's word. God could have called him anywhere in the world, could have called him to stay right there at home, but he called him instead to come to Taiwan, and people are getting saved. His life is still going, even though he's in heaven with Christ. Pastor Tim.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 2, a couple of times in that text. In Revelation, God's speaking to the churches, people just like you and me. And one of the phrases that John uses a couple of times is, if you have ears. He actually uses the word in the original language, anyone who has ears. And see, we all have ears. He says, anyone who has it must hear what the Spirit is saying. Not what the Spirit is saying for him to do, not what the Spirit is saying for me to do, but what's the Holy Spirit saying that you're supposed to do? There's a journey that we're on, isn't it? And I just recalled a philosopher's words. I can't remember where I got this years ago, but it says the 1,000-year journey starts with the first step. You got to take the first step.
Amen.
Hear, but then James says, okay, now shift into gear. When you train your ears, and that's what my prayer would be, Lord, train our ears so that we can hear what you're saying. Because a Spirit-filled church is a Spirit-led church. That's what it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit and then sensitive to what he would have me do and fulfill his dream that he's given to me. See, it's not you dreaming up a dream for you. It's you spending time training yourself to hear God so that you can hear his dream for you. Does that make sense? And when you hear that dream, then and you step into that, then God can do some things. Carolyn, would you just come up just for a second? She shared just a little bit of a story between services with me, and I had some time to process it and just kind of just concisely tell us, you know, because you've just lived that out. Would you say? I mean, you've kind of heard the Spirit. You have a camp for kids that you heard the Lord tell you about. How many years ago was that? A few years back?
1993.
What is it called? The Lord's Camp?
The Lord's Ranch.
The Lord's Ranch. And so this vision was given to you way back when, and took some time to get things started. And I think you, Richard, would be the first to say that it doesn't happen all at once. It's a gradual process. But you started. And so this last week, you kind of lived out what he was talking about today. You heard something. You did something. Tell us what took place.
Well, I love missions, but my mission is here in Kings County. And in 2010, I took possession of a portion of the Lord's Ranch, and we started camp for kids. And my heart, my passion is to reach the poor and needy, like what we sang about today. I don't charge a penny for these kids to come to camp. And so my son was showing at the fair, and I was there Wednesday night. And when I left there, I went, Lord, we start camp tomorrow, our first session, and I still had spaces available, and so I had applications with me. So I went to the Home Gardens area in Hanford, which is a tough area, and people live in shacks there. And I drove up and down the streets, and everywhere I seen people or kids, I just pulled in and stopped. And I know they said, what is this crazy honky doing here? But I just pulled in and stopped and got out of my truck. And I said, hey, do any of you have kids you want to send to camp? And I started sharing with them about the camp at the Lord's Ranch. And they're like, yeah, can I have one of those? So I started giving out applications, and I drove up and down the streets, just stopping, talking to people, giving out applications. And I gave out 20 applications. And as I was doing that, God showed me a vision that he'd given me years ago, where I'm driving up and down the streets, just loading kids onto a trailer and just bringing them out to the camp. And so we just have to be so sensitive to what God's calling us to do. So yesterday, I was busy getting the ranch cleaned up for camp, and I was spiritually attacked verbally, and it was very tough. And after that was all over, I went, Lord, we're starting camp Monday. I said, I have just been beat down. I need something to pick me back up. I said, what do you want me to do right now? It kind of changed the whole course of my day. And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, why don't you go to Costco and pick up all the supplies we need for camp? So I said, okay. So I head out to Visalia, and I'm driving down Houston Avenue, and after I crossed Highway 43, there's this girl walking down the side of the road. And I drove by her, and I looked, and I said, Lord, something's not right here. And I kept looking in my rearview mirror to see if maybe she had a car that was broke down, and I just kept feeling the tugging of the Holy Spirit. And so I went a little bit further and I said, I got to turn around. So I turned around and I went back and I pulled over to the side of the road and I said, are you okay? Do you need a ride? She says, yeah, but I'm going to Visalia. And I said, well, that's where I was headed, but when I seen you, I had to turn around and come back to see if you needed some help. So she got in my truck, and I took her to Visalia, and we started talking, and we started sharing. And I asked her, I said, do you know Jesus? She says, well, I don't know. I'm just scared. And I said, what are you scared of? And it was just an open door for ministry, and she had shared that she'd been kidnapped. And they took her to Corcoran, and they were trying to get her to do some drugs and to drink some stuff. And she said, I finally escaped and started, I was just leaving, and I seen this man, and he said, well, I can give you a ride to Houston, but that's as far as I can take you. So he dropped her off there, Houston, and now she's walking to Visalia. I said, that's a long walk. She says, yeah, it is. So she started sharing about her life and how she was involved in drugs and would just give herself to men and all kinds of stuff. And so I got to share where my life was at one point. And it was an open door. I took her to Visalia, and she gave her heart to the Lord that day.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's what our obedience will do. You got to be sensitive to the calling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And just do what He's calling you to do. And don't live in fear, because when I shared with a friend about me driving up and down the streets of Home Gardens, giving out applications for the Lord's Ranch, the girl I was telling, she says, are you crazy? Do you know how dangerous that is? Yeah. Did you hear about all the shootings? I said, you know what? If God's called me to do it, He's going to protect me also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Carol. That's good. Appreciate it. So, is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be that grand. Just take cold water to someone. Take someone a meal. What a great word for us today. My prayer is, Lord, help us to be a church that's loving and caring, passion for God, and compassion for people. Keep showing us what you want, because when you do what He wants you to do, it will bear fruit. It'll be fruit. As long as you and I are doing what we want to do, well, you may have a lot of stuff, may have the, I'm not sure I want an Aerostar, but may have an Aerostar in the garage, may have this and that, but you'll have the power of Jesus in your life when you follow Him, and I pray for that. I like the t-shirts that I saw out there. You know, I don't know if you guys have been out in the lobby or not, but they have some, it goes right along with the teaching that He has today. It says this, it says, come follow me. Just kind of as a reminder. Now, I'm going to purchase one of these. You have to have one a little bit bigger than this. I don't need a Santa Claus size, but I do need one bigger than this, okay? You do have the Santa Claus thing, okay? But this will in fact, I'm understanding that all the proceeds to this go to this ministry that you're involved in. So
it's going to the Come Follow Me teenagers that are coming to Atlanta,
yeah,
to help them to do what we did here in 2011.
This is kind of cool too. It's got the Come Follow Me in Chinese in the back. Is that Chinese or Taiwan?
Jesus wo lai gen sui wo. Jesus said, "Come follow me."
Yeah. Well, that's what we want. The words "follow me" mean to me all in. I don't play poker, but I guess that's what they say when you do something with your bets. Put all in. You're all in. I want to be all in for Jesus. So why don't we stand? And Richard, why don't you pray for us? We prayed for you as leaders in the earlier today, and I wouldn't mind having you pray a prayer for us to have ears. And as Richard's praying for us as a congregation, I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come down. Could very well be that today you've heard what was said. You really don't consider yourself to be a Christian, but just like that girl who got in that truck yesterday, she got in one way and got out a different way. Maybe you came in today, you didn't know Jesus personally, but you can walk out of this place beginning a relationship with Him. So we're going to have this prayer, and afterwards we'll be dismissed. Let's go ahead, Richard, pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You would even partner with us. And God, You don't use the world's criteria to call us. You use Your own, Lord. And Lord God, what You look at is not so much our abilities, but how much we make ourselves available. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, that we will make ourselves available to the extent that we can hear your voice. I pray, Lord, that things and ideas and traditions will not stand in the way of us hearing your word. Sometimes we need to get rid of some of those things. And if there's anything in our life, Lord, that would cause us to have that barrier so that we cannot hear you or see what you're doing, Lord, ultimately we know that it's not good for us. And God, in your word, it says you have successful plans for us. In Jeremiah 29:11, you say that you have great things planned, Lord, and we don't want to get to heaven one day, Lord, and find out all the things that we missed. We don't want to get there and find out, Lord, that we could have done so much more for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we know it's not always about doing. But Lord, you do call us to follow you so that you can make us fishers of men. It's connected to the calling, Lord, because when you call us and you start doing great things in our life, Lord, it naturally will influence those around us.
That's right.
And come follow me is attached to make you fishers of men. It's one sentence together with the conjunction and. And Lord, it's almost like you're saying, come follow me and your mama will follow us and your daddy will follow us and your children will follow us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Lord, that's what we want. We want to see our families sitting here with us at church. We want to see our families serving with us out in the communities, Lord. We want to see our friends, our co-workers, even the strangers. Lord, we want to see the young lady walking along on the side of the road. We want to see her come to Christ. And we thank you so much, Lord, for this sister in Christ, this new sister. So God, train us, Lord. Train us to open our ears to the spiritual realm and our eyes to the spiritual realm so that we can see and hear what it is that you are doing. Reveal your secrets to us, Lord. God, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you agree with that, would you say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming today. God bless you. See you next week.